Okay, we'll call, and forgive me if I mispronounce, Mehmet Kar versus Kathleen Kar, case number 65985. Good morning, Ms. Davis. Mr. Stoffel, how are you today?
Good morning, Your Honors.
Okay, are you ready to proceed?
Ready to proceed. A little nervous, but ready.
Oh, you'll be fine. Till we ask our first question.
Maybe once you ask the first question.
And there we go. You'll be fine, Ms. Davis. Just give it a good go. Okay. Sure, please. You can approach the podium and begin your argument. Thank you.
Your Honors, this seems like a simple question. On April 22nd, 2014, did Nevada have jurisdiction to modify a child support order that it had entered in July of the previous year? And while that sounds simple, and the answer I believe is yes, which sounds simple, the logic to get to that answer is not simple. The statute for the home-based decision under UCJEA would say, hey, there's 6 months. The problem is that on the date of the filing of the motion, all the parties were out in Nevada. Mom's in England with the child, and Dad is in Turkey. So the judge said, I can't enforce this order. And since I can't enforce it, if you have a different reading, better take it up to the Nevada Supreme Court. And she even made a comment, I don't mean this facetiously, this is my reading. So in looking at it, under your case law, your decision in Freedman, once Nevada no longer had jurisdiction because everybody's gone, where does jurisdiction go? The UCJEA never said there should be no jurisdiction. In fact, everybody agrees that an action could have been filed in England, but no action was filed in England. So absent that, we go back and we look and say, is there another appropriate state? Since no action was filed in England, Nevada continued to retain jurisdiction for the six-month period. After 6 months, England would have exclusive jurisdiction. This was filed 2 months after Mom and the son had left the country. So Nevada, at the time of the filing of the petition, had jurisdiction. Additionally, the court made no findings of fact that would have stated whether or not there was home jurisdiction. That's it, Your Honors.
It seemed to be arguing that and there is a statute that says where a court is confronted with this situation, what would be appropriate would be to dismiss it while the parties, or stay the Nevada action while the parties repair to England where the child is. Here that didn't occur. And so your opponent is arguing, well, as a practical matter, no harm, no foul, they should just go to England anyway and deal with it there. That's where the mom is, the kid is, the mother never really was a resident of Nevada, and so on. I have just a practical question. I understand that they did not follow the statute and get a stay of this proceeding in deference to one to be filed in England. Does it matter?
There is no action filed in England.
Okay, but what's the difference? He's arguing that as a practical matter, your client should simply repair to England and file there where the child and mom are. And I'm asking, what's wrong with that argument?
What's wrong with that argument is that at the time he filed, Nevada had jurisdiction. The court record was here. The faxes, the emails, everything that had gone on in the court was in front of the same judge. And as a practical matter, he had felt like he'd already made contact at that time, finally, with an attorney, that was the appropriate place to have it. Finding, he'd already paid $3,000 to a paralegal. He'd already hired an attorney here. As a practical matter, finding somebody in England wasn't an easy consideration, and the laws in England are different. The UCJEA is not accepted in England.
Okay.
You promised to ask a question.
You may reserve the balance of your time.
Thank you.
No problem.
Good morning, Your Honors. This is a case that, as counsel said, it's not that difficult. We just need more clarification on what's what. This is a case, it's not a best interest of the child issue. It's a subject matter jurisdiction. The analogy is, as I was preparing for this oral argument, it's like chocolate chip cookies. You either have chocolate chips to make those cookies or you don't. If you don't have chocolate chips, you don't have chocolate chip cookies. So this is the situation that you have to see what's what. The facts are not in dispute, which is rare.
But at the time this was filed, Nevada had jurisdiction, and the district court ruled it did not. Isn't that fair?
Say that again.
At the time this action was filed, under the UCCJEA, Nevada had jurisdiction.
I would say no, or if they did, by the conduct of the parties, it was declined, and that's what Judge Pomerantz basically did at the motion hearing.
Well, the judge didn't analyze this, but one of the questions I had is whether 125A305-1A sets out two requirements, maybe three, but certainly two requirements for the court to have jurisdiction in this context.
Right.
Your opponent argues that the motion was filed within the six-month period of the time that Ms. Carr and the child left for England, and I assume you don't dispute that.
Right, undisputed fact. It was February 2014. That's the magic day when she left with child.
Right. The question, I suppose, though, well, there's two questions that I have in trying to interpret that statute textually. The first question is, does the six-month period run from the time of the original divorce proceeding, or does it also run from subsequent motions filed in the case? To me, it would seem like it would run from subsequent motions filed in the case.
Right.
But then there seems to be a companion element or requirement, and that is that in assessing the six-month period, the parent must also continue, one parent at least, must also continue to live in the state.
Right.
So it would have been necessary for Mr. Carr to have been a resident of the state for Section 1A to apply.
Correct.
Would you comment?
What I would say on that is, you know, first
it doesn't seem like the trial judge did any kind of analysis
just
as we're talking about. She just concluded without analysis that there was no jurisdiction. But you and your opponent have presented this to the court. I think it's an important question for us to evaluate. So if we were to agree with your position that the court lacks jurisdiction, what would be the analysis, at least with respect to the application of subsection 1A?
I would say at this, when I reread the UCCJA, the 125A, it appears that doesn't apply in this case at all. And what I mean by that is it keeps on saying state versus state, and that's the whole concept of UCCJA. What is the appropriate state? So then, as I'm thinking to myself, what is a state? Because that might be up to interpretation. Okay, I looked at that. NRS 125A.155 says a state is defined. What it means is it's the state of the United States, the District of Columbia, Puerto Rico, the United States, Virgin Islands, or any territory or insular possession subject to the jurisdiction of the United States. So if I'm looking at this, anything beyond that, beyond the mere vocabulary definitions, it has to be a state. So is Turkey a state? No. Is the country of England a state? No. So knowing what a state is and what a state is not, the country of England is not a state for UCCJEA purposes. That was the takeaway, aha, gotcha moment last night when I was reviewing this to say, I see what they're arguing because I mentioned it in my my responding brief. In their reply brief to mine, they just kept on alleging the 125A, saying a state. And I think Judge Pomerantz took maybe a shortcut or two.
Maybe you're missing, I want to clarify my question. It's not the issue about whether there is, how you define a state. My question is, in applying subsection 1A, assuming that 6 months runs from a subsequent motion filed in a divorce action, the two bases on which the Nevada would continue to have jurisdiction are that the motion was filed within 6 months before commencement of the proceeding and the child is absent from the state, and a parent continues to live in this state.
Right.
Since Mr. Carr did not continue to reside in the state, then it would seem like 1A does not apply.
I would agree. And that's where we're at, is what state should be the appropriate forum to litigate this matter. And
state there is or state. Country?
Well, jurisdiction. I'll say that. So England is not a state. So this is a question where when he filed his motion, he knew that she was out of the country. The other thing is, just for the record,
well, I think state in this context is a parent must reside in Nevada.
Nevada, correct. And that's what I'm saying. So
I don't think this. That. I don't think this subsection, in line with what I'm suggesting, it the reading would be. And I want your opponent to comment on this, obviously, in rebuttal. But
right.
I think that the context is that if the mom and the child move out of the state, and within the six-month period thereafter, a motion is filed.
Right.
At least one of the parents, and certainly in this case, the father,
right.
would have to also continue to reside in Nevada for Nevada to have jurisdiction.
Correct, because okay. it's designed to be anti-forum shopping. We get that a lot where someone gets an order, goes to another state, and then perhaps 5 months later to say, gee, the California courthouse is right down the street. I'll file here regardless that there's a stay behind parent. So in this case, we don't have order and a person.
Okay, assuming that that's a correct reading.
Right.
Subsection D seems to be a default position.
Okay.
That in the absence of anything else,
right.
if nobody else has jurisdiction, then Nevada does for purposes of this case.
Right.
Why wouldn't that apply here?
Because I still think that the way the statute reads, it's presuming one of the parties or a child lives in the United States. This
then D would be entirely supernumerary to A. I mean, to me, that's how that reads. If right. Nevada isn't under A,
right.
and I think everybody agrees with that,
correct.
Then another state must have jurisdiction for D not to apply.
Right.
And I understand your argument that England is another state.
It was another jurisdiction. It's not a state
right.
for UCCJEA purposes.
Right.
So that's why any statute or any case you look at is always, it's usually California, Arizona, somewhere.
But here it's England, so
right.
why wouldn't D apply?
Because there's nothing to stop him from filing there, and there's no person that's left behind. So the other thing is.
So do you attach any significance to the fact that the word state in subsection D is not capitalized, where
yeah.
state in the rest of the statute is?
That's up to legislative interpretation, and that's what this court is determining to see what's what. And the big picture, if we can look at this, if the court
well,
says...
It could make a big difference.
It,
right?
it could.
Because the capital state,
right.
S state,
right.
is a defined term in the statute,
right.
where a small letter state is not.
Right, and that's how do you interpret it? And that's what we have a Supreme Court for, to tell us.
Isn't subsection D designed to...
Well, this is your opportunity to suggest to the court how this opinion should be written.
Right.
And what we're addressing are what we express concerns about in the textual problems in this statute.
Right.
So what would you offer if you were writing the opinion? How would you resolve these questions?
You have to look at this case for what it is. When he filed, he wants to have a change of custody. He wants to have child support reviewed. What I was saying is, under the caption of this case, it was one of the captions was item number one, did the district court have UCCJEA jurisdiction to modify custody when the parties and the child were not physically present in Nevada? There's a couple ways to look at this. There was a motion that I filed in 2013 when mom and the child were here. She was present. And the court changed it from joint legal and primary physical to mother to sole legal, sole physical, no visitation for dad, and all visitation at mom's discretion. She got military orders to go to England, and she was a member of Crete Air Force Base. So in November of that year, she got orders to go there immediately, which was February of 2014. He didn't file a 60B motion. He didn't file a reconsideration, didn't appeal, nothing. That order was valid. And then, out of nowhere, he files a motion in April saying, I want joint legal custody again. I want child support to be reviewed and revisited because I only make less than $1,000 a month. So he is making it more difficult on his end to say that I want Nevada to hear everything.
Well, but wait a second. Do you concede that at that time, under 305.1d, the district court did have jurisdiction to entertain that motion?
In 2013, yes, absolutely.
In the more recent one, in April of 2014.
No, and I argued it both ways. And I think the easier way to get to the bottom line is, even if Nevada did, for argument's sake, it's still an inconvenient forum.
If it is, though, then doesn't 365.3 kick in, which says, if a court of this state determines that it is an inconvenient forum, and that a court of another state is a more appropriate forum, it shall stay the proceedings upon condition that a child custody proceeding be promptly commenced in another designated state. So to me, I get that you're saying England is not a state.
Right.
But walk with me for purposes of argument. If the courts did have jurisdiction, yet it believed England the more appropriate forum, why should it not have proceeded under 365.3? That's my first question. And secondly, what difference would it have made?
Right. And there wasn't a finding one way or another. It was just the first thing that Judge Powerman said at the hearing is, how do I have jurisdiction? And
so we should remand this back for her to make that determination to apply the section of the statute that Justice Pickering is pointing out.
If need be, but we have to still make the determination, is England a state? And I think we can't get past that until we have that legal determination.
Well, I would observe that in 125A365, again, the word state is with a small s, not a capital S.
Right.
Doesn't that make a difference in terms of the definitional provisions contained in 125A?
I don't think it matters. It's like saying parties. Sometimes people capitalize P, sometimes people don't. So whether the legislature's determined capitalizing a letter means something different, I think it's given the plain English interpretation of what is a state. That's why they went through and defined it in 125A.155. So this is a unique case when they want this action to be litigated here in Nevada. No one lives in Nevada. And they said in one of their joint appendixes or somewhere in there that it's a three-hour flight from Turkey to England anyway.
But returning to Justice Pickering's question, shouldn't the district court, before it decides not to exercise jurisdiction, hear from the parties as to whether there's some issue that affects the dispute in this case, in hearing it in England? Now, maybe there isn't in England, I don't know.
Right.
But the parties haven't presented anything to the district court yet on that point.
Right.
Suppose that mom had been relocated to Somalia. I could see someone saying, I don't think you should stay and send us to Somalia to resolve this custody dispute.
Right.
Keep the jurisdiction here under the default provisions. Wouldn't that make sense?
In a logical sense, yes, but I think in a legal standpoint, since he was challenging child support and things of that nature, why would he want to go through an appeal to have this delay? The child was born in 2008, so he's going to be, what, 8 this year. So I think
the motion to modify start date is going to determine off the Nevada filing if the court had jurisdiction, should have stayed it in deference to the one in England. That could have been sorted out.
That
Justice Hardesty's point is, I think, the statutory point, which is we do not want children to not have a forum that can hear child support and child custody modifications. So even if another forum is more convenient, we keep it till we're assured that there's another forum available that is practical.
And that's the question that I guess we have to deal with is, how do we tackle this issue? I think Judge Palmer's thing is saying is, if you want to step up to the plate and be a parent, which that's why sole custody was granted, because he wasn't involved. There was very little Skype. I think he took the shortcut approach to say, litigate in England, best of luck to everyone, and we're done. And I think that was the issue. So
I have to come back to the question that I think all three of us have asked. Isn't the very purpose of subsection D in 125A305 to take care of this situation, to leave the child
as Justice Pickering so appropriately pointed out, with some place to hang their coat, if you will. Because if everything else fails, that's your saving grace. Why does that not apply?
Because I don't think England is a state. I think the way that the statute reads is what it is, and there's no harm or prejudice for him to file in England, because coming back here, we'd have to have an evidentiary proceeding to determine should he have joint legal custody restored. She's a member of the United States military residing in England. He resides in Turkey. So if the record gets remanded to have Judge Powermans clean it up, maybe that's the appropriate answer. But 2 years have gone by with him having visitation with his child for 10 minutes in England in 2015. That's an undisputed fact.
So are you conceding that the district court erred in not exercising provisional jurisdiction under 3051D, and that in fact it should have kept the case but directed the parties to file in England and then said it would stay it until that occurred?
No, I think
okay,
the way...
Okay, so you're not making that
claim. I'm not making a claim. I'm just saying that's a reasonable interpretation that could be made. I'm not conceding on that. What I am saying is just looking at this case for what it is, it was, in my opinion, a shortcut to get to the end result. And that would be my statement. We're on the record. It is what it is. But I think because he's in Turkey and has never been in the United States since the divorce a few months after that in 2011, now that she's in England...
You know, I appreciate your pragmatic point.
I do too.
But when these cases get to the Supreme Court,
right,
and we're asked to evaluate and interpret provisions in a statute that are going to be used by other parties in other cases,
right,
it seems to me that the court has a responsibility to correctly interpret the statute so that future litigants can assess how their case should be determined. And returning to my hypothetical,
right,
had mom been transferred by the military to Somalia and been permitted to take the child with her, I'm not sure that a family court judge in this context should be sending the parties to Somalia to resolve custody and support questions.
And maybe the analysis depends on the country. If it was to Japan, that's not a Hague Convention country.
But isn't that what is contemplated in 365 subsection 3? If there's some other alternative or some other problem, then maybe the court doesn't stay it. It exercises jurisdiction.
Court can do what the court can do. And if they would have ruled that way, that would have been a different animal. But they didn't specifically ask at that hearing for a stay. All they asked for is this court should have jurisdiction to entertain this motion. And that's why the court got to the bottom line. How do I have jurisdiction? When a party leaves, the UCCJA presumes it's anti-forum shopping. Here, we're not anti-forum shopping. If we were, he would file something in Turkey. He would file something somewhere else. How is he going to come to the United States? How is she, as an active member of the military, going to come to the United States? Then the argument was, and I know the time is about up, or is up, but I think the other question raised was, is she a resident of Nevada? She was only in Nevada for military purposes. She's got 3 more years left in England. Then she plans on relocating back to the United States to reside somewhere on the East Coast by her family, which I believe is in Florida. She's paid by the United States government. She pays Florida state income taxes. So if any state has any sort of nexus or connection with this case, it could be Florida, but the child, I don't believe, has ever been to Florida. So how we get to the bottom line, how we solve this mess, I'm not sure what this court wants to do with this. I think the court just saw it as they saw it, that no one resides here. UCCJA arguably does not apply, probably because of everyone out of the country. I've never had a case where we're arguing Nevada should have jurisdiction, and now everyone's been out of the country for over 2 years. So that's the question, and maybe there wasn't a specific finding that should have been made, perhaps, because it wasn't an evidentiary proceeding. You could always raise a subject matter jurisdiction challenge, and that's what was done. So in my opposition, we briefed that, and that was what was said at the hearing, that we believe that.
Thank you, Mr. Stoffel. I think we understand your position.
Thank you.
And we'll give Ms. Davis an opportunity to rebut. I think we should begin with the proposition that maybe this case is not as easy as you might have perceived it, particularly with respect to how one interprets subsection 1A of 305. It does seem to me that in addition to the six-month element, which you argue has been satisfied, another element exists that must also be met, and that is at least one of these parents is still in the state.
Well, Your Honor, I think that under your direction in Friedman, we have to go back and look and say, we agree that under 1A, it doesn't, which 1A requires the other parent. But at the time that the judge entered the order, the original order, Nevada had jurisdiction. This is a modification of that order. So that first order was in July. This was a motion for a modification, which was in April of the following year. If they had the jurisdiction then to do it, the statute, it says that you get to continuing jurisdiction. It doesn't have continuing and exclusive, but that we would have to go back and look again, and that would be 125A335. So it says that we don't have it, so we come back, and we do have it under Section D, which is that
under D as in dog.
D as in dog, which is that no other state has it. As for the position of state, there's been countless.
Oh, wait a minute. If state with a small s state in Section D includes England, why wouldn't England have jurisdiction?
I think England could take jurisdiction,
mm-hmm.
but it didn't take jurisdiction. It hasn't taken jurisdiction, and nothing was filed in England.
Well, but as Justice Pickering and the conversation that Justice Seda has been having with Mr. Stoeppel, why wouldn't 365 compel the court to at least ask the parties first, is there an issue in staying this and requiring you to proceed to file it, which didn't happen here?
Right.
Isn't that a companion statute that should be considered in interpreting the default statute?
I think it had to be considered as part of the default
okay.
statute.
All right.
I think it had to be looked at, and I don't know any findings of fact
for me. Mr. Stoeppel argues that from a pragmatic standpoint, without analysis and maybe serendipitously, the district court judge just said all of you go to England. What would your argument be to the district court as to why the case should still remain here?
Because at the time, and even if we went back today, this court has heard everything about the divorce, has heard everything about the kid.
So your argument in this case is that even if England has jurisdiction, given the recent history of the parties with this judge, even though they're now residing elsewhere, the court should hear it under the default statute.
Under the default statute, yes.
Okay.
And just to quickly address the small s versus the capital S,
uh-huh.
there's case law all across the country, and this was enacted in order to have conformity as part of the welfare laws and the welfare reformation.
Mm-hmm.
State includes foreign jurisdiction. So, and I did not get a chance to look at Ottawa, our case, to see if we applied that. But that is a case that there's cases all over. State includes a foreign jurisdiction.
With a capital S or with a small s?
State with a small s.
Oh, I
see. States with capital S's are states.
Right.
We've been trying to annex England for years, I understand.
Just well, kidding. I don't know about that. But was there anything else, Ms.
That's
Davis?
It, Your Honor.
I don't think my colleagues have any other questions, so I thank you for your argument this morning.
Thank you, Your Honor.
Mr. Stoeppel, thank you. We appreciate your briefing and your presentation of this interesting question. And if you were nervous, you didn't demonstrate that.
Yay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I'd like to call the